with us in Sunday school, and myself and most of my family this week, we got in the car on Monday morning and drove down to Idaho, down to Boise, to Treasure Valley Baptist Church, where they were having a pastor's school. Even pastors have to go to school sometimes. And so we went there, and it was good, some different sessions that they had during the days, and then just regular preaching services in the evening. And so it was a good time, and thankful for all that stood in while I was away on Thursday. If you didn't know, but then you found out on Thursday, if you came, you were like, that's not the normal guy. That's not the regular guy, but I'm thankful for Brother Johnson filling in and taking care of that. But this morning I was kind of looking over some things yesterday and going through some things, just kind of trying to review in my mind. That's why I have to take notes, because when you get three sessions for 3 days in a row and then preaching at night, I go, what was said? I don't, it all blends together. But I do want to give you one of those lessons this morning. It was a blessing to me, and I thought it was very practical in our time now and for Christians. So I want to go ahead and we'll give you that lesson this morning here for Sunday school. So turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you would. 2 Corinthians 10. And this was a morning session on Wednesday, and this was done by one of our missionaries, which is Jeff Williams. In New Zealand, he was there doing some sessions and preaching also. And so he presented this idea and some of these thoughts here. And just really good practical things for you and I to know and understand and to apply in our lives as Christians. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 1, the Bible says this. It says, now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Here is Paul, and he's written some things to this church. And the church at Corinth, he tells them several times in both letters that they are a carnal church. And this church at Corinth is a carnal church, in meaning that they're kind of babes in Christ, and they're arguing over things, and they have envy with one another, and they have all these things going on in the church amongst one another. And that shows signs of an immature Christian. That's what that does. And yet, this immature church, the Bible says here in verse number 2, which is another sign of immaturity, in verse number 2, he says, second part of the verse, wherewith I think to be bold against some. Who does he want to be bold against? Which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Here's this young carnal church, and they're looking at Paul, and Paul's writing letters, and Paul's dealing with things, and he's trying to help out this church, and there's these young baby Christians in the church that says, well, you're walking after the flesh. You're the one that's doing it. That's what they're pointing the finger to Paul and saying, you're the one that's walking after the flesh. And Paul says, I want to be bold against some, but I don't want to be. In my letters, I'm bold, but in person, I'm not bold. And he says in verse number 1, he says, now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And he says, I'm going to take the example that we had in Christ. And Paul says, I'm going to, in meekness and gentleness, deal with you, is what Paul says to the church at Corinth. He says, this is how I want to handle myself. This is how things should be handled, in this meekness and gentleness. This is how he was dealing with these lies about himself. He was dealing with these lies in the church, and some were going around saying, well, Paul's the one that's in the flesh, and he's the one that's doing this, and Paul's the one that's causing trouble. And so he says, I'm gonna deal with this as Christ would have dealt with it, in meekness and gentleness. Now, meekness could simply be summed up as humility before God. It's a humility before God. It's a way of carrying ourselves in meekness and in humility and understanding who God is. And it's an attitude that we have before ourselves and God. Gentleness is a kindness or an attitude towards other people. So meekness is something that we put on ourselves before God, but gentleness is how we handle other people. And we need both of those things in order to deal with people in a right way. In a right way. It's not maybe the easiest way to deal with people. It's certainly not the way that seems to give us the most satisfaction, right? Especially if someone's against us. Meekness and gentleness is not the first attributes that come to my mind when dealing with somebody else. but he says, hey, our example is Christ of meekness and gentleness. So let's turn to Matthew chapter number 19. Let's look at a few things about Christ in his earthly ministry and how he handled himself. Matthew chapter 19. Now we know in Matthew chapter 23 that there is a time and a place where standing before the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day, Jesus Christ called them out in Matthew 23 and called them hypocrites and called them vipers and snakes, and he called them names. He pointed out right to their faces. But with almost all common people, he didn't handle himself that way at all. It was with those that were against him. It was those that were trying to catch him at his word constantly. It were those that were leading people astray by their attitudes and the way they carried themselves in religion and their self-righteousness, their opposite of meekness and gentleness with people. And he called out that crowd and said, hey, you're like the blind leading the blind. You're both going to fall into a ditch. And he goes after that crowd. But when he was dealing with people, regular people, me and you, Jesus Christ wasn't that way at all. Matthew 19, look in verse 13. Matthew 19, 13. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. I like to say this firstly, is that Jesus Christ was approachable. He was approachable. And his meekness and his gentleness, he was approachable. Even little kids wanted to be around him. Little kids wanted to be around him and come near him. And you find often in the Bible when dealing with Jesus Christ is that there were often a lot of women that were around him and drawn to his leadership and drawn to the way that he handled people and carried themselves. Obviously, he was a man in many regards. His disciples, some of them were commercial fishermen, some of them were tax collectors. These would have been probably rougher individuals. He called James and John the sons of thunder. But they were drawn to Christ. But when he was dealing with people and dealing with multitudes and individuals alike, it was in meekness and gentleness is how he did it. Even, like I said, even the little kids would come to him and he said, hey, don't send them away. The disciples were like, oh, don't bother. He doesn't have time to be bothered with these kids. And, you know, it's a good sign when kids like somebody, because they're usually pretty honest. I don't like him. I was in a store one time, and Carson was little. He's still right here, so I'm telling the story on him. He was little, and we go into like a Best Buy, and we have to return something. And so he was barely even big enough to see up over the counter. So I take him and I set him up on the counter there. And this woman is there dealing with us. And she says, oh, hi, and talking to Carson. Carson's like, turns away from her. And she's typing away. So I said, Carson, be nice. And he goes, I don't like her.
Be quiet. Don't say things like that.
Probably just the day. I don't know. But he was not a fan of this woman. And I thought, all right, well, it's a good sign if kids do like you, though, all right? Some little kids that aren't jerks, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to be liked. Why? Because Jesus Christ, he was approachable. And people could come and ask him questions, and they could come and talk to him in the scriptures. Look in 1 Thessalonians 2. Paul says some of the same thing. 1 Thessalonians 2. In verse number 7, 1 Thessalonians 2, 7, Paul says to this church, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." Paul says, we were gentle when we came and dealt with you. And this is Thessalonica. They were worshiping idols, and they were, they were heathen against God, let alone against Christ. And he comes, and what's he say? He says, I was gentle among you. And you and I should be that way as Christians, especially when dealing with one another, but also with the lost world. We can't walk around thinking that we're better than everybody. We can't carry this air about us for the lost world that that we're just better than those that are lost, or somehow we've earned God's favor, or somehow we're better off because we're saved. Thank God that we're saved. If you're saved and born again, thank God we're going to heaven. Thank God you have the truth of the Word of God. But he died for everybody. He wants those people to get saved as well. And so this idea of being approachable is good. It's being gentle and being meek and humble before God and being approachable before individuals. It's a good thing to do. It's a good thing for a Christian to do. When dealing with the world. Yes, are there things constantly that you run into outside of these walls and outside of the walls of your home, and they're just aggravating and frustrating? And yes. I will say yes again. Consistently. Consistently. I don't know when the last time is that you've tried to accomplish something and it just went exactly how it was supposed to go. And everybody knew what they were talking about, and they knew what their job was supposed to be, and it just ran smoothly. I don't know when the last time that's happened. But as far as our Christianity and approach towards others, we need to be approachable, we need to be gentle, and with meekness. I like to say this secondly, Matthew chapter 11, let's turn there, Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, 28. Christ was approachable, but look what he says here in verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Second example of Christ is he set the example of meekness. He says, "I am meek and lowly." He was the example of meekness and humility. And when we read the scriptures, and it's hard to always understand. We kind of read them in our own personality. That's I find, what people do generally. If you're aggressive, you can read every time Christ says something to somebody, you can read it kind of in an aggressive manner. If you won't say two words to any human, then you read everything in the opposite direction. Wow, Christ was probably just really soft-spoken and really, handled everybody kind of very gently. But the Bible says, regardless of what our opinion is, the Bible says that he was meek. He said it, "I am meek and lowly in heart." He carried himself in humility before others. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2 builds on this. 1 Peter 2 and verse 18. He says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently?" Well, that means you deserved it. If you deserve it, then take it. "But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." What does that mean? Someone's saying something about you and you didn't deserve it. He says, well, if you do deserve it, well, that's no big deal to kind of humble yourself, although it can be for some people. If it's true and it's right and you need a rebuke from the Lord or from someone and it's your fault, then okay, I can take that. You're right that I was in the wrong there. But if you're not wrong and you still take it patiently, he says, okay, that's acceptable of the Lord. Well, what's the example? Verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." That's God. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." The example is Christ. The example is Jesus Christ, who, when he was talked about, was he talked about? Sure he was. Was it just when he was about to be hung on the cross? No. During his whole ministry, as soon as he had a public ministry, they were saying, "We know who this guy is. This is the carpenter's son. This isn't anybody special. Who does he think he is? Why does he keep saying that?" They picked up stones and wanted to kill him multiple times. And how did he handle himself? He walked through the crowd and said, "Excuse me, I need to get out of here." Is what he did. And so the example, he set the example of meekness. Look in 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, in verse number 1, it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." He's saying to the leaders of the church here, he's saying, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but be ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Now those verses are aimed towards me or towards leaders in the church, saying you're also supposed to be an example. Christ was our example, but he's saying to the leaders of a local church here, he's saying you're to be an example. Because you're in a position of leadership, and you have to be careful how you carry yourself. But he continues it on in verse number 5 and says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." It comes all the way down from the leadership and the elders to the younger and then to everyone else. How are we supposed to carry ourselves? With humility. What kind of example? Humility and meekness. With what kind of example? Christ. Christ and how he carried himself. Not just amongst ourselves, but like I said, at the workplace, at school, at the grocery store. Wherever the Lord takes us, we should be able to carry ourselves with humility and some meekness. Not only that, but turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8. Matthew chapter 8. In verse number 1. Matthew 8, verse 1. "When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So Christ here is also an example in this way. He comforted others. He comforted others. And here was Jesus Christ, and a leper comes to him. And if you remember reading through the Old Testament law, lepers were supposed to be outside the camp. They weren't supposed to be around everybody. They were supposed to wear something over their face, and they were supposed to be saying, unclean, unclean. And they were to go to the high priest and see what was going on, if they had leprosy or if they were being healed or if it's something different. And they were to be put out because of their disease. And here this leper comes to Christ, and you know what Christ could have done? He could have said, get away from me. Get out of here. You're not supposed to be here. You're not supposed to be around us. Man, don't you understand? We're clean. We don't want this. Get out of here. But he didn't do that. He actually did the opposite. He also did what he wasn't supposed to do. He touched him. He touched him. He comforted him. That's what Jesus Christ did. He put his hand on him. He touched him against the law, but he touched him with comfort. And he didn't treat him as an outcast. He didn't treat him as a leper. That's where the word comes from. Treated like a leper. Right, for good cause. But Jesus Christ didn't do that. He comforted others. And you find that often throughout the scriptures. Those that needed something, what was he? He was a comfort to them. He was a comfort. And you and I, as Christians, we can be a comfort. We can be a comfort to one another. We can be kind and be a comfort. We can be a comfort to those in the world. We can tell them that we're going to pray for them. We can talk to them and tell them about Christ. That we can tell them a lot of different things from the scriptures about Christ. And do what? And be a comfort to somebody. When you help somebody that's lost, they don't forget that. And we're supposed to be a representative of Jesus Christ anyway. And so there's no harm in that. There's no harm in helping somebody. There's no harm in being kind to somebody. There's no harm in comforting someone, encouraging someone, being nice to someone. There's no harm in any of that. It's good. It's good because they don't forget that. And then when you have an opportunity, if it's not then, you have an opportunity to tell them about the Lord, it's an open door. But it started just by you being nice and by you being gentle and being able to see somebody going through something. And I remember working as a manager when I was in New York and, you know, having some guys working underneath me, and those guys are just normal people and they go through things. And every once in a while, I wouldn't do it publicly to call them out or anything, but I'd pull them aside and say, hey, I understand you're going through this. If you need anything, if you want to come and talk to me about anything, you can feel free. All right, if you're going through something and you're struggling with some things, you can come and talk to me about it if you want to. Like, oh, okay. And then after a while, somebody would come to me and pull me aside and say, hey, I'm kind of going through this. I know you're a preacher and stuff. So, And what was it? It was an opportunity. It was an open door to be able to talk to them. And to treat them like people that have problems, just like we do. But we have the Lord, thank God. And some don't. Some don't. Look in Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40, verse number 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. It was a comfort. That's the Lord's attitude often, is comfort them. Comfort them. We're told in Thessalonians to comfort the feeble-minded. We're supposed to be a comfort. And you and I can act that way. And Christ is our greatest example of that. All right, turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse number 1. John 8, 1. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again unto the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest. That would have been the one that would have had the most sin in his life and the most wisdom. Beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Christ was willing to forgive. Christ was willing to forgive. And that's a great example for you and I. Because sometimes we need to forgive people and they need forgiveness. And so Jesus Christ was willing to forgive. Now, we need to notice in verse number 11, he didn't compromise. He didn't say what you did was no sin. You didn't really do anything that wrong. He didn't compromise. He says in verse 11, go and sin no more. He says, no, you're guilty. It's not that you're not guilty. I'm not cutting you a break because what you did wasn't that bad. He says, no, you did sin, but go and sin no more. Why? Because the Lord could understand repentance without it being said. The Lord could understand it. He didn't compromise, but he handled sin with gentleness. That's what he did. Why? Because he was meek and he was gentle. And he handled it in that way. And it's not easy to do that when we're the one sinned against, or we perceive that we're the one that's sinned against. Or someone's a sinner in general. And might not have to do with us, but we don't want to be around it, and we don't want to be lenient. And that's not what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ was, he was willing to forgive. Look in Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemed thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. You know, that's how God dealt with you and I. When we went to him and asked for salvation, and after that, when we go to him and ask forgiveness, that's how he deals with you and I. Is he forgives our iniquities, he healeth our diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's what he does for you and I greatly appreciate it. There's many times when I go to the Lord and I just thank you for your long suffering. Thank you for being gentle with me. Thank you for not whooping me every time I deserve to be whooped. I mean, I wouldn't be able to sit down, maybe ever. But he's kind, and he's gentle, and he's willing to forgive. That's what he is. Turn to Ephesians 4. You're probably familiar with the verse. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 31. We'll just read 32. Ephesians 4, 32, that's the meat of what we're going for. Ephesians 4, 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Again, the Lord is our example. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We for God's sake, for Christ's sake, we could forgive somebody else. But it takes kindness and being tenderhearted. It takes a spirit of meekness and gentleness to be able to forgive others. Listen, I understand that this forgiveness and, you know, depends on how bad preachers have been hurt, is how they preach this thing about forgiveness. I understand true forgiveness takes, it's a two-way street. It takes, will you forgive me? And yes, I will forgive you. All right, that's a true repentance and forgiveness. That's how that works. Someone says, I'm sorry, heartfelt, and the other person says, I forgive you, heartfelt, and that's how restoration is made. But sometimes people, they don't want restoration. They don't want restoration with you. And they're never going to come to you and say, I'm sorry I did that. But you need to find a way for God and Christ's sake to say, you know what? They might not feel this way towards me, but I'm going to forgive them in my heart. For God's sake, for Christ's sake, for your own sake, I'm going to forgive them in my heart and ask the Lord to help me and move on with that. Can there be true restoration there? No, there can't. But it's way healthier for you than to say, I'll just wait for them to come say I'm sorry to me. You can carry that attitude for decades. And people do carry that attitude for decades. And, well, nope, can't forgive them. The Bible says if they come and ask, I know what the Bible says. But you're way safer to say, Lord, I need on my end to get this root of bitterness out of my heart. And in meekness and gentleness, say, I forgive them. Or even present it to them that, listen, it's okay. I'm over that. My family went through a thing many years ago when I lived at home, my parents and me as that family, not my family. We went through a thing many, many years ago with a church, and it was not good, and it was destructive, and there were lies said about my parents. I was just kind of a punk kid, so I was just along for the ride. But my parents weren't, and they were. It greatly affected our family. I would say it changed the course of our family and our service for the Lord and long-term things. It greatly affected it in a negative way. And there was, it was difficult. It was very difficult. And so it wasn't until years and years and years and years later, my father went into like a Dunkin' Donuts or something and saw that pastor. And that pastor, that was the first time really that, like, since the event, since they had talked. And that pastor came to my dad and said, listen, I'm sorry about that. And my dad was like, don't worry about it. It's been a long time. And, you know, but my dad couldn't have possibly held on to that and stayed sane or living for the Lord if you just hold on to it and you just waited and waited and waited. Because then how are you going to respond to, and I'm sorry if it does ever come? Not well. You ruined 20 years of my life. Well, they might have gave you the head start, but sometimes we can ruin 20 years of our life by not saying, Lord, help me to forgive. And Christ was willing to forgive. Look in Psalm 18. Psalm 18. Psalm 18, verse 35. Psalm 18, 35. David saying, "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation and of thy right hand, and thy right hand hath holden me up. And thy gentleness hath made me great." The Lord's gentleness on David, he says, that's what's allowed me to be great. And we should afford that with others. Our gentleness towards others, our meekness towards others, can allow them to be the best they can be. And we should be able to do that. In Galatians chapter 5, it's where the fruits of the Spirit are listed. Meekness and gentleness are both fruits of the Spirit. Both of them. Meekness and gentleness. And we can only have the fruits of the Spirit by submitting to the Spirit. We can't just say, "I'm going to be meek today," and then just transform ourselves into meekness or gentleness. No, it comes from the Lord. It comes from submitting ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God through our lives allows us to be meek and gentle. It's only possible through the Holy Spirit. And then lastly, turn to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Second Timothy 2 and verse 24. 2 Timothy 2, 24. "And the servants of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." It says to the servants of the Lord, say, who's a servant of the Lord? Well, we're all supposed to be. All of us are supposed to be servants of the Lord. And how are we to be? We're to be gentle unto all men, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. That's the lost world. They're only going against themselves when they reject Christ and they reject the truth. They're opposing themselves. They don't hurt you. You're saved. They're opposing themselves. And he says, if God peradventure will give them repentance under the acknowledging of the truth, we're supposed to, in meekness and in gentleness, deal with those around us. The worse it gets, and it's getting worse, the worse it gets, the more important it is that we should be dealing with people in this manner, in meekness and in gentleness. Why? Because it represents Christ. It's what he did. We think often that this extremely hard exterior needs to be handled with a hard exterior. Well, if they're going to be rude, I'm going to be rude. But you're not winning. That's why there's never, ever been any dispute ever won on social media. Because all it is just people yelling at each other and arguing with each other. And if someone is in meekness or in gentleness, you can't tell anyway because they're just words typed up. That's why when I reply sometimes sarcastically in a text, I have to be like, sarcasm, just kidding. Because you can't perceive the attitude of what's happening over simply seeing words. But the worse it gets, the more we should pay attention to our attitudes in meekness and in gentleness. Because people are lost and on their way to hell. And the Lord wants them to be saved, just like he wanted you to be saved. And thank God, if you are saved, that you are saved. But there's many others. And Christians need to be encouraged. And we need to have that spirit of meekness and spirit of gentleness in our lives. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for today. Lord, thank you for this Sunday school hour, this lesson, Lord, that touched my heart and spoke to me. Lord, I need help with it. I need to apply it to my life. I need to make sure that I'm walking in the Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would help others as well, those that heard my voice this morning. Lord, touch their heart in any way you see fit. Lord, prepare us for the next service. Lord, visitors that might come in. Lord, as we open up the songbook and sing praises unto you, that we would do that. And Lord, thank you for your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's take a break for a few minutes.